everybody, and welcome to worship here at Biggleslade Baptist Church. My name's Helen Godfrey. I'll be leading you through the first part of the service, and later on I'll be handing over to Martin for the communion section and for the sermon. Today is slightly different in that all the children should be out in the back rehearsing for their multi-skilled performance next week. So if you are a child who is in Sunday Club, please go straight out there now, sneak out to join in with the practice. There are also some of our children who are in, let me get this right, X Club, who are helping. If you are in X Club and if you have been given a job to do, please go through there as well. If you're in X Club and you haven't been given a job to do, you need to stay in here for the time being. Young people in the X Word, is it an X Club, are going out just after communion this morning. The creche is available, I believe, if you've got smaller children, so feel free to go out as and when you're struggling to keep your children and satisfy your children in your pew. And that, I believe, is the rooms behind the kitchen. I think that's 3 and 4, but I never get the numbers. 1 and 2, is it? 1 and 2. I've been only coming here like 30 years, and I cannot get my head around the numbers in this place. Also been asked to remind the parents that next Sunday, if your child is in the performance, please, please, please get your child here by 10:15 at the very latest to have them ready. And please talk to Ellen today about costumes. If you haven't sorted out your child's costume, she might be able to help you get something sorted. So lots of things there about next week, which kind of shows that we're very near now to Christmas, aren't we? And it's that busy time of year when we're in all that busyness of wrapping presents, shopping, thinking about this, going to this Christmas do. And for me, last week and the week coming are usually the two busiest weeks of the entire year. And in all that, it's so easy to lose sight again of what it's all about and what we're celebrating and what Christmas really means. So I want us to take a moment right at the start of the service now, just in silence, to remember what God has done for us, what it means for us that he came to earth, what it means in terms of the difference it makes to us, and what it meant for him to give up the glory of heaven and come and live here on earth. I'm going to just read a few words from Galatians 4. It's verse 4, yeah. Galatians 4:4, which says this: when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So because of what Jesus did, because he came to earth at Christmas, we can be sons of the Lord God. What an amazing gift we have. What an amazing privilege that is. Let's just take then a few moments, just in silence, in our hearts, thinking about what it's all about and getting ready to praise God this morning. Yes, Lord, we thank you that you came at Christmas as a baby to save us, to bring us into relationship with God the Father, that we can be called sons of God. Help us this morning to remember what it means, to reflect on what you've done for each one of us, and to really praise you and celebrate your goodness, and to draw near to you, who's beckoning us to come to him, to come to be in relationship with him, to spend time in your presence this morning, we pray, Lord God. Amen. So I invite Abigail and whoever's coming with you to come and light the Advent wreath. As usual, Abigail and Tadiswa will read some of the words, and there'll be some words on the screen for us all to join in with. You've got to drag three. You might need to use more than one match.
Good morning.
Yeah, get that.
Good morning. Today we are reading from December 14th. In the midst of our waiting and longing for God to make the world right again, we cling to the truth that God has saved, God is saving, and God will save. So today, we join our voices with the prophet Isaiah, who calls us to live in the joy of the truth of God's salvation.
We choose to believe that the day is coming when the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
We light this candle of joy as a sign of the truth that sets us free to live in joy as we wait and work for the day when all creation will flourish together.
Brilliant, thank you. And you need to pop through there now to do some work because you're practicing as well, aren't you, sweetheart? Okay, so we're switching things around a bit this morning, that we're having a longer time of worship at the end of the service and a shorter time of song worship at the beginning. And we're going to learn a new song, because why wouldn't you at Christmas? So we will sing the first verse and chorus through, and then we'll ask you all to join in and sing this song together with us. It's a Christmassy song, so, you know, it's got to be done.
Thank you.
What number are the youth on? Because I can hear them in my head.
Nine.
Number nine, thank you. The voices in my head are bothering me this morning. Right, okay. Nothing you said about that. Notices now. So we have a notice from Ali first. Ali Caesar. Oh, okay. We haven't got a notice from Ali. She's going to be glad, sad she's missed the opportunity. Right, we'll go to Caitlin then. Come on down.
One moment while I find it all. So I was going to talk to you about the prayer week that's coming up. Just remind you of what's going on and all the exciting things. So it kicks off on Sunday. Oh, it's there. It kicks off on Sunday the 4th. We've got a communion service in the evening. On Monday the 5th, there's a prayer breakfast at 7:30 till 8:30. I think that is bookable by church suite. Tuesday the 6th, a lunchtime prayer at 12:30 till 1:30. Is that in person or online? In person at church, first Tuesday prayer. Wednesday evening from 7 till 8:30, there'll be like a soaking area, soaking and waiting on God. Thursday the 8th, a Zoom prayer between 3 and 4. Friday the 9th, prayer, praise and pizza between 7:30 and 9. That's also bookable by church suite, and I went to that last year. It was very, very good fun. And then Saturday the 10th, there's a 24-hour prayer room at church, starting at 12 noon and running till after the service the following day. I'll be running that, so you'll get to hang out with me all day. And that will include a walk at 1:30. That's what's advertised. Informally, I'm also planning on doing like a chili or a curry at dinner time. And anyone who's there at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to buy McDonald's as well. So there is incentive to come, in my view. So yeah, that we're looking forward to that. I think it'd be really exciting. It'd be really nice to have lots of opportunities to do different types of prayer over the week. You don't have to come all night for doing 24 hours. You can come whenever. But like I said, McDonald's at 3 a.m. if you are there. Yeah.
Cool. Brilliant. So it might feel like, oh, January, that's ages away. But actually, it's not. We've only got two more Sundays before then. And they're kind of slightly different Sundays. And people might be away. So I would say, get your phone out at the end of the service and book it on Church Suite now, because, you know, it's going to come around really, really quickly. Ali, you made it back in time for your notice.
If you receive the emails, you will have had an email this week on Friday about providing photographs for the Christmas Day service. I'm aware that not all of you will have this, so I'm going to say it now. As part of our Christmas Day celebration, we are putting together a little montage. When I say we, I mean Alistair, it's not me. Putting together a little montage of photographs of children at Christmas. But what we would love, what I would love, is if it was you as children at Christmas. So this week you need to go rummaging through your old photographs, see if you've got any Christmas photos of you as a child, and either scan them in or take a photo and email them to christmas@bbchurch.org.uk. And they will go to Alistair. If you're not quite sure what to do, you need to speak to Alistair at the end. He's the one up there. And he'll be down here at some point. So I've already had a couple of people who have actually given me physical photographs. So that's not what we need. We need digital so that we can put them on for Christmas Day. And when all will be revealed on Christmas Day. Thank you.
Thank you, Ali.
If you can't scan them in, we can deal with your photos.
Brilliant. So there is a lot happening this coming week. We've got on Thursday, we've got children coming into the church during the week for carol services at different times. I'm not sure when they are, but they are coming in. On Thursday evening, we're going out at the Golden Pheasant to do carols at the Pheasant. Everyone's welcome to join there. I think it's from 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
It'd be great to have lots of people there. It's good fun evening. And the people who come love it, so that's great. Then next Saturday afternoon, we've got the Christingle service here at 4 till 5. Great opportunity to invite families to that in particular, or any friends you want to invite to that. Next Sunday, we've got the morning service with the children doing their performance, and then the carols by candlelight in the evening. And of course, we've got the all-age service on Christmas Day. So lots and lots of going on, lots of things you can invite people to at this time of year. And that's all great, but it's if we're going to do it, well, let's pray into it, because it's not just doing it because it's Christmas and we always do it. We want to make it significant. We want to make it impactful for the Lord. So let's spend some time now in prayer, praying for that, praying for other things too, as we're moving towards our time of communion. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you again for this time of year and for the way that it gives us so many and maybe easier openings to talk about faith, to talk about you, to talk about what it means that you came down to the earth. And Lord, we commit to you all the activities that are happening in our church, particularly this coming week, where we're going to be inviting people into this building, or we're going to go out into the town, down to the local pub, and we're going to be bringing something of the good news of Christmas to these people. Lord God, we pray that these would be times that, yes, are fun, yes, capture something of the magic of Christmas, but that more than that, Lord, that we would communicate that you are real, that you love people, and that what they need most this Christmas is to meet with you, the living God. Lord, we pray that as we're preparing, as Martin's thinking about what to say, all these different services, Lord God, would you be with him? Would you anoint him? Would you give him your words and your message, that it would be clearly spoken to people at these events that you love them and you want them? And we pray too, Lord, for all the other churches in our town who are also all gearing up for Christmas and have their own activities and programmes going on. We pray, Lord, for St. Peter's. We pray for St. Andrew's. We pray for Trinity Methodist. We pray for the Pentecostal Church. And we pray, Lord, for the Quaker gathering, that, Lord, in their celebrations, in their services, that they would each and every one of them again catch something more of the wonder of Christmas, of what it means for them, what it means that you came. And in their services and in their outreach, Lord God, would you bless them too? And would you build all the churches in this town which love you and know you? May it not just be, may it never become a case of wanting to be us against them, but maybe be one together, wanting to build your church in Biggleswade. And Lord, as we move into our time of communion this morning, we also want to remember people from our fellowship who may be having a more difficult time, and for whom maybe Christmas is a time that they're dreading rather than looking forward to. We'll pray particularly, Lord God, today for Jill Reeves, as she's in hospital waiting the start of her treatment next week. Lord God, I pray that she would sense your presence there with her, that she'd be so aware of your love for her and of being held in your hands. And Lord, we pray that you would heal her, whether that's through the NHS or whether that's through some supernatural miracle, Lord God. We pray that you would restore her to full health. And we pray, Lord God, that you would just be so close to her at this time. And we pray, Lord, too, for those who are facing Christmas and feeling the sadness, the loss of loved ones in recent times. Would you be really close to them, Lord God, blessing them with your presence, blessing them with an awareness of your love and the joy that you can bring, and the peace that you can bring that we can't understand, but you bring it anyway, Lord God. So thank you, God, that you are Emmanuel. You are God who is with us in everything, in all our times, in all our situations, in the happy times, the easy times, and the difficult times. You are Lord and you are God and you are with us, and we thank you for that, Father. Amen. Okay, Martin, can you...
So yes, we will spend some time in prayer around the communion for Doug and again for Jill and for others. But yes, please do mark that date in your diary, and if you're able to come along, please do. So on the night Jesus was betrayed, he had a meal with his closest friends, his disciples, and we call it the Last Supper. It's come to be known as the communion. And it's here before us this morning in symbolic fashion. They actually had a full meal first and then shared some bread and wine together. And I know we have some wonderful cooks in our church, but I think I might be stretching it a little bit if I started to ask them to prepare a full meal for us all before we had communion. So we come in a symbolic fashion this morning to remember that Jesus said that he is the bread of life. He says, whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And he said to his followers on that first evening when he instituted what we can now call the Lord's Supper, He gave bread to his disciples after giving thanks to God for it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after supper. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." And that's really important. It's very easy to come to this and think we're just remembering the death of Jesus for our sins, which is no small thing on its own. But those last three words, "until he comes." Because Jesus didn't stay dead, he rose from the grave, and he promises one day to come back, to take all those who follow him, to be with him, to bring in a new heaven and a new earth and a new kingdom of peace and love and grace and joy. So not only do we look back on his death for us at the cross, but we remember his resurrection, and we look forward appropriately during Advent again. We look forward to his return, because Advent isn't just about getting ready for Christmas. It's about looking forward to that day when Jesus returns. And all that we do with a little thimble full of wine and a little cube of bread. It's amazing what God can do with the simplest of things. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for your sacrifice for us on the cross. And we thank you for these elements of bread and wine that remind us of your body nailed to the cross, bearing the weight of our sin and our shame, and your blood shed on the cross, guaranteeing our forgiveness because your offering was acceptable to God the Father. And we also look forward, knowing that you rose from the dead. We look forward to your return. And we say, "Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus." Lord, until you return, we pray that you would make your presence felt in this body of your people, that you would fill us with your grace and your love and your goodness, that you would forgive us of our sins, those that we know we've committed, those that we don't even know we've committed, in thought and word and deed. And we pray that through your forgiveness and your grace and through the promise of your return, may we be transformed and empowered by your Spirit. Even as we receive bread and wine this morning, may you equip us to live for you in this coming week, whether we're involved in any of the activities that we're putting on for our community or not. May we know your power and your grace and your goodness. Because you died, because you rose again, and because you promise one day you will return. Come, Lord Jesus, pour out your Spirit, we pray. Amen. I'm going to need a bigger table before much longer. So Jesus, after the supper, took bread and he gave thanks to God, and then he broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in memory of me." And it's our custom here to eat the bread as we're served, and to reflect on what Jesus has done for us as individuals, and then to hold on to the wine till we've all been served, and celebrate the fact that because of what he's done for us as individuals, he has created a community of brothers and sisters. That's you and me, if we have faith in him. So if the servers would please come and collect a plate, that would be lovely. said after the supper, Jesus took the cup, said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." I know I've said it many times, and I'll probably say it many more times as well. But a covenant is a lasting agreement, and a covenant sealed in the blood of the Son of God is an eternal agreement that binds us together to him and to one another as his children. And so, as I said, please retain the cup until you've been served, and then we'll drink together and we'll continue to sing "When I Survey." How can we repay the Lord for all his benefits to us? We can lift up the cup of salvation and call on the Lord by name. We shall pay our vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Let's drink and remember that Christ's blood was shed for us and be thankful. Let's come to God in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the reminder that we are loved with an everlasting love. Thank you that we are reminded that death is not the end, but that you have a plan for us for eternal life through faith in your death and your resurrection. And we thank you that we can know your presence daily because you are alive. And Lord, we want to pray for Doug today, as we have been praying for him, that he may know your strong presence with him as he processes all that's happened in the last few weeks. May he know your comfort. May he know your peace. And this Christmas time, even though it's going to be a hard one, may that message of God with us and God for us speak powerfully into his life. And as we come to say farewell to Marie and give thanks for her life week after next, Lord, we just pray that your presence will be strong here. And again, that it would be a service that brings comfort and hope and peace to Doug and to all who come to support him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we haven't quite finished because it is our custom also at communion services to formally welcome people into church membership. Here we are, a church that practices membership. And membership simply is a way that we can identify together as formal members of God's family. It gives us certain voting rights and responsibilities and all that sort of stuff. And I'm delighted to say we've got three people for us to welcome this morning. So if Adele, Jacob and Lizzie would come and join me down the front, please, that would be lovely. Or Jacob, just come across from your bit at the front. There's always one, isn't there, on this thing. There's not a lot of room here today, so if we just go over here a little bit. That's lovely. So at our last church members meeting, these three were recommended to become members of our church after hearing their faith story and their desire to be formally recognised as part of Biggers Way Baptist Church. So it does give me great pleasure. This is the really formal bit now. Are you ready for this? Yeah. Jacob, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and on behalf of this church, welcome into church membership. There you go. Adele. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and on behalf of this church, welcome into church membership. Well done for not laughing. Lizzie, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and on behalf of this church, welcome into church membership. As you can see, no expense has been spared with the membership cards. We expect you to frame them and put them somewhere really visible so that you can see them regularly. Let's pray for these guys. Yeah, why not? Go on. And Father, we pray for Jacob, for Adele and for Lizzie. We thank you that you have led them to this point in their Christian discipleship where they want to publicly and formally identify with the church family here at BBC. And Lord, we thank you for the gifts that they bring. We thank you for the opportunities for growth that they will give us and we will give them. And Lord, we pray that together we could travel together on our journey of faith, growing as brothers and sisters, and serving you. Lord, would you release your gifts into their lives if you haven't done so already? Would you fill them afresh with your Spirit? And would you help us to encourage them in their walk with Jesus day by day, so that together we may become more and more like him? In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. You can go sit down again now. And a very small round of applause from Catherine there on the way back. Excellent. It's time for the youth to leave us. So God bless you and whatever you're doing this morning. Robbie, I believe, is going to bring us our reading this morning. Thank you, Robbie. I don't know, literally just back from university and we're making you work already. A lot of them as well, isn't there?
Today's reading is from Isaiah 7, verses 10 to 16. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my Lord also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before a boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste.
Thanks, Robbie.
Who put that there? Actually, it's probably me from last week.
Okay, now I'm going to start today with a really difficult question. I'm going to put something up on the screen. My daughter is holding it in her hand, and you need to tell me which of my daughters it is. No, that's not the question. Well, I think even you might get the other one as well. So, is everybody ready? Okay, I want to know what it is that she's holding in her hand. And then we'll see if Ali can recognise our daughter's hand as well. What is she holding in her hand?
Lego.
Lego brick. Which daughter is it?
Jenna.
Becca, well done. Yeah. Well done. Good. Now, you're probably thinking, what on earth? A Lego brick is something quite normal, isn't it? It's quite unnoticeable. Unless, of course, you have small children in the house and you get up in the middle of the night and you step on one. Then it becomes very noticeable. And you're lucky if you don't wake the whole house, because it does leave you literally hopping mad. And if we have just the one brick, like the picture in the picture here, we don't really know what it's for. We don't know where it's come from, apart from the fact that it's a Lego brick. What's it supposed to do? What's its function? It's just a brick on its own. But if you link it to a set like these, then you see that it has a place and it has a purpose, and you see what it's meant to do. For those of you who don't know, that one there is the Death Star from Star Wars, and that one there is the Millennium Falcon from Star Wars. My daughter and son-in-law also have quite big Lego sets from Lord of the Rings. I'm not quite sure which is the nerdier part of any of that sentence that I've just said, but we love them anyway. When you buy a piece of Lego in a set, it comes with plans. It comes with plans that show you where it's supposed to fit, what it's supposed to create, what it can become. It shows you the potential that it has to become something bigger than it is on its own. And a bit like with a jigsaw puzzle, if you lose just one bit of a Lego set, it can be a little bit frustrating. You can be disappointed with what you come up with, because it's not all there. There's a missing piece. But in a Lego set and in a jigsaw, every piece has its place. Every piece has its purpose. Every piece is important, even if it looks quite insignificant to us when we first see it. Now, in Isaiah 7, King Ahaz is seeking God's help in the middle of a political crisis. And in verse 4, God sends Isaiah to him. And Isaiah says to King Ahaz, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart. It's a message of encouragement. God promises him political stability if he stands firm in his faith. And then he says, ask me for a sign, and I will show you. And Ahaz goes, oh, I don't want a sign. I can't presume to ask you for a sign, Lord. Which gets him into a little bit of trouble, because God has said, ask me for a sign. And he said, basically, no. Oops. But I wonder what that sign would be. I wonder what he thought that sign would be. After all, in the past, God has given Israel some pretty spectacular signs, hasn't he? 10 plagues, devastating Egypt in order that they might leave the nation. The Passover, when the angel of the death, the angel of death came, but if they painted blood on their doors, their families were spared a visit from the angel of the death. That's a pretty big sign. And then when they were wandering through the wilderness, pillars of cloud and fire, God's original sat-nav, showing them the way through the desert. Also in the desert, water from a rock. And there was that thing that happened as well, wasn't there, at the Red Sea? Now, what was... Oh, yeah, the sea parted. I'm not sure you can get much of a bigger sign than that. That you're being pursued by thousands of angry Egyptians. You come to a coastal area, and there's this really big sea, and you don't know what you're going to do. And God says, Moses, stick your staff in the water, and I'll part the water for you. And he does, and they walk through on dry land. What a sign that was. And maybe, I don't know, maybe Ahaz said he wouldn't ask because God's given so many signs, or maybe he didn't, we don't know. But God gives him the sign anyway, and it's not at all what Ahaz is expecting. Because he says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. What that means, by the way, is that he will still be very, very, very young. Curds and honey is a bit like our kids being on milk still. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. So again, we've got a twofold application of this passage, of this prophecy. The first is that God will raise someone up to help Ahaz out of his political crisis, but also there's that application that someone is going to come and rescue people from a deeper crisis, the crisis of sin and of death and of hell and of judgment. And again, if we were creating the sign, if we were thinking about what we want to do for people to take notice, we'd probably think of something pretty big. The bigger the better, because then it's going to be imprinted on their brains and in their souls, and they're not going to forget what it might be. If you've ever seen something really dramatic, it kind of sticks in your mind, doesn't it? But God doesn't work like that. Because God's sign is small. And God's sign is seemingly insignificant in the grand scheme of things. A baby is so ordinary, you could easily overlook it. The baby could seem insignificant. After all, he was born into poverty. Lots of other babies have already been born and have been born since. So this baby was just like any other baby, and he grew to adulthood like any other baby. But of course, he's not entirely like other babies. Because this one is born to a virgin with no human father involved, just the Holy Spirit. Just the Holy Spirit. This baby is God himself, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, choosing to become God with us, Emmanuel. And a bit like the Lego brick, unremarkable at first and easy to overlook, but when seen in the bigger picture of God's plan of salvation, this baby is the essential piece that completes the whole. A tiny person, if you like, with a huge purpose. As we've said a few times already, a small wonder. And around this time every year, there's lots of talk on social media and other places about reclaiming Christmas, about putting Christ back into Christmas. Normally we hear it in people saying, don't call it Xmas, call it Christmas. Or if you take Christ out of Christmas, you're just left with M&S. Or it's not happy, that one always gets a laugh, I don't know why. Or it's not happy holidays, it's Merry Christmas. And so on. And there's too much commercialism, and we need to put Jesus back into the centre of Christmas. This year, we've had something extra, haven't we? Yesterday in London, Mr. Tommy Robinson and the far right had their carol service to reclaim Christmas and to bring Christ back into Christmas for the British nation. At least that's what his formal publicity said. But if you look at what he sent out to his supporters, that's not exactly what the plan was. What his plan was to take Christ and use Christ as a weapon in his war against immigration, against multiculturalism, and as a rallying call to Britishness. I gather it wasn't even reported on the news yesterday properly. I gather only about 1,000 people turned up. And I believe, sadly, that Mr. Robinson has at least one piece missing from his Lego set. And yes, that does have a dual meaning. First of all, a vast number of people who seek immigration or asylum in this country are Christians fleeing persecution from Muslim countries. We want to reclaim Christ for Christmas. We welcome the stranger and the refugee. We don't turn them back. Does Mr. Robinson know that Jesus himself was a refugee fleeing political persecution? It's there in Matthew's Gospel that, Matthew's Gospel, that the wise men came to Herod. Herod wanted to know where Jesus was because Herod wanted to kill Jesus. The wise men were warned in a dream not to tell Herod about this. So what did Herod do? He sent his troops in to Bethlehem to kill all boys under 2 years old. And Jesus and his family fled that persecution to Egypt. If you want to put Christ back into Christmas, you remember that Christ himself was a refugee and that Christ identifies with people who are fleeing from persecution. You don't use him to add persecution to people already fleeing. Mr. Robinson also forgets that Jesus was not white British. This may come as a shock, but Jesus was born in Israel. So most likely light brown in skin colour and a Jew. Aren't Mr. Robinson's friends doing some things that are not very pleasant to Jews? The irony is, Anyway, yes. Thirdly, what does the Christmas story begin with? It begins with this. Good news that will bring great joy for all the people. Not just the white ones. Not just the ones with blonde hair and blue eyes. All the people. Jesus came for everybody. Doesn't matter what colour you are or anything, where you come from. You are created in the image of God, and Jesus came to restore your relationship with God. You cannot use Jesus to push racism or intolerance because that's not who Jesus is. And just the final piece of this particular puzzle or this particular Lego set. 2 years after he was born, Jesus was visited from some chaps from the Far East who came to worship him. I don't read anywhere in my Bible that any of them who weren't white were turned away. And the danger is that the small baby, if you keep him a small baby, he can easily be overlooked. He can even be hidden by the forces of economics or nationalism, of selfishness and greed. If you look at the Christmas ads, and everyone gets all excited about the Christmas ads, don't they? Especially the John Lewis one. But if you look at them properly, most of them, in fact, I think all of them, none of them, mention Jesus. There's that fat fella in the red suit, and there's other bits around the Christmas story, but none of them mention Jesus. He's got lost in the middle of it all. And if he's hidden by these things, if we overlook him, we face Christmas not just with a piece missing, but with the most important central piece missing. The piece that holds everything together, without which it'll just fall apart. And what we end up with is a frustrated and disappointing, incomplete Christmas. Especially if someone buys us a pair of socks. Who said what? That's my present back to the shop. Hallelujah. Anything that pushes Jesus out of the picture has this result. It has this result of just leading to disappointment and frustration. So what can we do? Here's some ideas. First of all, make ourselves familiar with the maker's instructions so we can see where each piece of the set fits together, so that we can see that the key piece to life, the universe and everything is this baby born at Christmas. In the birth of Jesus, we discover the fulfillment of God's promises, the completion of the instructions, and the key to a satisfactory and joy-filled life. And this fulfillment of these promises shows something amazing. It shows that God has seen and heard his people. He has seen and heard our need and has moved to save us from the oppression of sin, death, and hell, not just political, economic, or nationalistic extremism, but actually from the very things that caused them in the first place. So first thing, have a proper look at the instructions. One of the most frustrating things on Christmas when I was a child was if we got a game bought for us, nobody wanted to look at the instructions on how to play it first. We'll work it out as we go along. Now there's a recipe for disaster. But many of us approach life like that. God has given us a set of instructions. It's called the Holy Bible. He's even given us someone to help us understand it, called the Holy Spirit. But no, we'll just make it up as we go along. Check in with the maker's instructions. Secondly, and this could be a little bit controversial in a Baptist church, follow the example of Mary. No stones? Good. Excellent. Carry on. What do I mean by that? I mean that in Luke's gospel, we see that around the birth of Jesus and around the messages that she was given from the angel, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She, who already knew the significance of her child, still took time to reflect. It's her son who knows right and wrong without needing to be taught. It's her son who is the promised miracle of God. It's her son who will bring God's wonderful plan of salvation to pass. Maybe she wondered how he would do that and what would happen to him. And ultimately, she learned to follow her son from cradle to cross and beyond. Mary is a great example of what a Christian disciple is. She gave her life over to making sure that she had the right piece in the right place in her life, and then lived her life accordingly. Everything she did for Jesus was an act of worship. So if we get the instructions and we understand the instructions, we see the piece that we need, that is Jesus, and then we need to apply the instructions and put the piece in the right place, like Mary did, so that everything that we do for Jesus is an act of worship. And I do mean everything. And thirdly, recognize that even if we feel small and insignificant, we too, if we are Christians, are important pieces in God's salvation plan. We have a part to play in the bigger picture, in the church family, yes, but wider still, in God's bigger family. Wherever we find ourselves, we can be sure that God has placed us where he wants us to be, so that we can point others to Jesus. We can show others that missing piece through bringing every aspect of our daily lives together in worship to him. Because in his wisdom and in his grace, God has decided that things won't work properly. The set won't be completed. And the puzzle won't be made without you and I playing our part. Read the Maker's instructions. Follow the Maker's instructions. Share the Maker's instructions with others. Three things we can do, and not just in the run-up to Christmas, but every day of our lives. And it all starts by recognising Jesus as the centre, not just of Christmas, but of life itself. It starts by recognising that he is more important than any political stance, than any economic power, than any national identity. It starts by kneeling at the manger and worshipping, by living lives directed by worship of Christ, the newborn King, who grew up to give himself for us and for our sins, rising from the dead to welcome all who trust in him into the family of God. God's great sign is a small, wonderful baby born that we may all understand that God identifies completely with us. And that small baby grew up to show that he was the most important piece in the history of this world as he went to the cross, as he rose from the grave. And if we don't stop and ponder like Mary pondered, if we don't stop and look for him at Christmas, never mind the rest of the year, we miss the point and we end up frustrated and we end up disappointed. But if we see Jesus, we are reminded of the reason for the season, we are reminded of the power of God at work, and we are reminded that we as sinful human beings are loved with an everlasting love. So I want to encourage you, when you find yourself caught up in the noise or the rush of shopping or political statements on Facebook or X or whatever, just to stop and look at that baby in the manger, bow the knee in worship, and allow God to give you back the right focus for this time of year, but for the whole of our lives. We're going to have an opportunity to do that right now. Helen and the band are going to lead us in a couple of songs. But what I'd like to encourage all of us to do is to consciously turn our eyes away from whatever it is that we've brought with us this morning to, or that we're going to, and just to look at Jesus like the shepherds did, like the wise men did, like Mary did, and allow the wonder of his birth to settle in our hearts and our minds. And as we respond to God, if he puts a word on your heart and you feel it's right to share it, come and have a chat with me, or Gareth or Mike are both sitting just over there. And we'll just test it out first, but then we'll share it with the church if we feel it's appropriate. But let's just come and respond in worship as the shepherds did, as Mary did, as the kings did. Thanks, Helen.
Thank you.
see him, when we see him as he is, when we come into his presence as the shepherds and the kings and Mary and others did, when we gaze on the reality of who Jesus is, we just want to stay there. And we are overcome as we are in his presence. And the wonderful thing is that because he came, not only can we be in his presence, but his presence can be in us and can make a difference to us. And all he asks us to do is to kneel in worship, to kneel in surrender. And as we surrender to him, all those other things that bind us, that hold us, that cause us difficulty, they can be broken. They can be dealt with. Even the tightest chains that bind us can be broken in his presence. So we're going to sing one more song, and it's a song of surrender. And please, if you don't mean it, don't sing it. But if you do mean it, sing it with all your heart and allow him to work in you and ultimately through you. And if you need to get prayer at the end of the service, the prayer team will be here. But as we stand in his presence now, our response surely is to bow and say, "My Lord and my God, I give you everything." Recognizing that in surrendering to you we find true freedom,
love and peace and grace and forgiveness. And surrender means laying things down. Help us to lay down those things that are not helpful. Help us to fix our eyes on you, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. As we surrender, would you fill us with your presence and help us to take that presence out into the world of this Christmas time, but also each and every day of our lives as we play our part in your big plan of salvation. May people be blessed because they have encountered us, because we encounter you. And all glory go to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Please do come and get prayer if you'd like to, for anything. Just rest in God's presence for a while. If you need to go, you need to go. But there's teas and coffees and all the usual stuff outside as well.